All right. Without further ado, we love talking with him from CSN Bay Area. Extra Bags, B-A-G-G-S on Twitter. Good sense of humor and a wonderful writer, a good friend of ours. Andy Baggerly, good morning.
Hey, Andy.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We're doing great today out here at the Public House. Allison has brought me my lunch, and this is always a good sign for the day.
Freedom chicken on that club?
You ever hear of a freedom fighter chicken?
Freedom fries, is that like when you have freedom fries instead of French fries?
Very good.
I'm not exactly sure.
It's patriotic, Andy. Very good.
Very good. Hey, Andy, I was going to let you do the Sanford Health Report for sanfordhospital.org. Why don't you go through what's going on here? Because priorities have changed, I think, with the outfield situation and the potential long loss of Angel Pagan.
Well, sure, and Brandon Crawford back in the lineup, so at least that's one positive. You know, he's obviously the big glue that keeps that infield together, and he's been out in a few days. And that way you can put Joaquin Arias back at third base until Pablo gets back on Monday. Pablo's been doing great. Really nobody's concerned that he's going to have another setback with that foot. So get Pablo back, that's a big piece that they've been missing. And but you're right, the outfield is going to be a work in progress for a while with Angel out. You're going to see more of Juan Perez, and you know, if he starts to struggle, then you've got other guys you could go to. Francisco Figueroa, once he gets healthy again, he had a concussion down there at Fresno. We haven't seen Roger Kieschnick yet. I still think we're going to see him at some point this season. But you know, right now it's Gregor Blanco has really been playing well these last few weeks, and it's been very well timed. The team has needed him. And you've got Hunter Pence, obviously, the everyday guy in right field. And Andres Torres has to pick up his game a little bit, and I think he knows that. I'm imagining he's unavailable today after bruising his knee really bad. But at least he got good news that he didn't fracture anything. So, you know, Torres is going to be a factor here, and we're going to see more Juan Perez, and it's going to be one of those situations where they're going to go with the hot hand for whoever can kind of step up in Angel's absence.
Andy Baggerly here with Marty Lurie and Patrick Connor. We're at the Public House. Andy telephonically linked. What do you think about Chad Godin? He tweeted that he'd probably be able to make his next start. Would you go along with that too, Andy?
I would think so, but as Bruce Bochy said, until they see him throw his bullpen tomorrow with mm-hmm. no problems, then they're not going to really, you know, ink it down on the page. And they do have Mike Kickham, who threw on the same day as Godin, and he had a really good start in Reno, which is almost like pitching on the moon. It's like a total launching pad up there. So, you know, he did a good job keeping the ball down, throwing strikes. And if they have to back off Godin for a start, they could bring Kickham up. But I do think that he's probably going to be okay. He seemed pretty confident that the swelling would go down. But again, I don't think we're going to know until Sunday for sure.
Andy Baggerly is with us, CSN Bags. And you can follow him on Twitter. Andy, looking at the bullpen, and I don't know if you heard my show earlier this morning or even last night, but these are the guys. I mean, Lopez, Affelt, Romo, Machi right now. Casilla will come back. Can we see more of Lopez in the eighth inning? And I realize, as you wrote last night, Bochy said, I'm still behind Affelt, and I understand why he has to be. He's his guy. But how do you mix up this formula a little bit to get out of this little rut they're in?
Well, I think in a way, what I wrote last night is that they're kind of paying the toll a little bit for May, because the starters just had such a miserable month of May, and it still amazes me that they were a game over 500 in May, and I think they did that because the bullpen was just so locked down, was so good. You had Godin at that time pitching long relief, and he'd enter a 4-0 game in the fifth inning, and next thing you look up and it's 4-0 in the seventh or eighth, and all of a sudden here come the Giants. They win 5-4. So, you know, that's what they're not getting right now. The games where they're trailing by a run or two, they end up trailing by 3 or 4, and makes those comebacks harder. And, you know, I think that they've had to use their frontline guys in situations where they haven't maybe always been leading, which is never good, except for Sergio Romo. They've done a good job, I think, saving him to save situations. But you're right. With Casilla out, Affelt's been having to face more right-handed hitters, which is normally not an issue for him. He's a very different type of lefty than Lopez is. I still think they're going to want to match up Lopez against lefties and not have him out there to face right-handers. So, you know, they need that right-handed complement. And John Machi did a really nice job for a good stretch. He's got good stuff. But, you know, he is a guy who spent 10 years in the minor leagues, and that generally happens for a reason. And you know, I think this team really needs Santiago Casilla back, and the Giants are pretty confident that he might be back by the end of this next road trip. It's up Independence Day in Cincinnati. And when he comes back, I think it's going to be easier for Bochy to get those matchups that he wants.
Andy, I asked Marty during the break, I said, what's more likely for Brian Sabian to address in terms of needs? The bullpen, a starting pitcher? And Marty said, well, maybe an outfielder.
I think the priority has changed with Pagan's injury.
What do you think, Andy?
Well, I still would go for a starting pitcher. That's what I would do. Because if you can get a starting pitcher, then maybe you can almost kill two birds with one stone. You could move Gaudin to the bullpen, maybe even move Lincecum to the bullpen, although maybe talk of that has cooled a little bit because he's having a real nice four-start stretch in June here. Yeah. But, you know, you might be able to strengthen yourselves in more ways than one, and we always know that this is a pitching team, and I think that's still the priority. I mean, they're scoring enough runs, even when they've tailed off a little bit this last month. I think they put enough pressure on an opponent. I mean, they got a lot of traffic on Ricky Nolasco, a guy who's really had their number. But you're right. You know, you throw Gregor Blanco out there every day, he is going to tail off. He does have that in his background that when you play him every day, you know, he doesn't always sustain it. So I think that another outfielder would be great. I think it would really help them. But I think the priority has to be pitching, especially a starting pitcher.
What did you think of Nolasco last night? And, you know, he's available, and it wouldn't take a lot to get him if you take back the money. What did you think of Nolasco?
Well, it's one of those things, right? I mean, everybody knows the Marlins are gonna deal him, and there's going to be a lot of teams interested in him, but I don't see him as being a guy who's going to take the whole farm to get. I mean,
no.
It's not like his numbers are overwhelming. And there's a number of other guys out there that I think you know, a lot of teams are going to be interested in. You got the Cubs with Garza and with Feldman. You've got and we got to wait and see what some teams do. I mean, it looked like 2 weeks ago that Josh Johnson would be a nice prize out there for some team, but all of a sudden the Blue Jays have gotten hotter than a pistol, so they're right back in the race. That's why you don't see a lot of trade talk until you get closer to the deadline, because there are very few teams that can say right now that they're out of it. But the Marlins certainly one of those teams, and I think that's why a lot of the teams are calling for pitching right now, whether it's the Orioles or the teams in the NL West. They're dialing up the Cubs, the Marlins. There's a finite list, maybe the Astros, the Bud Norris. And that's why if you make a deal now, there's going to be a lot of teams calling the Marlins, and you're going to have to pay a lot more than maybe what the price might be a month from now.
I wonder, because Nolasco to me looks like a four. And, you know, guys like that don't break the bank. I don't care who they are. But he is an innings eater. And on this ball club, innings eaters are okay if they keep the game close, because it should be a lockdown bullpen. So I think he could fit in here just to give them innings, which would be important, because you don't want to get into August having your bullpen eaten up the way they're getting up right now. That's why I think he'd be important for this club. Andy? It changes every week. Arizona's in first. San Diego's in second right now.
Wow.
What do you think of the Padres? I get asked about this a lot, and I keep saying, boy, they don't have enough pitching. The offense isn't enough. And you know something? They keep winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they start the year without Chase Headley. And I thought, of all the guys who got hurt in spring training, I thought, wow, that's really a death blow for the Padres if they don't have Chase Headley, who was, you know, on the short list of MVP candidates last year. That really changes the complexion, and sure enough, they got off to a terrible start, 5-15. But you know, one thing that I've kind of learned watching the Padres over the years is that Bud Black keeps them playing hard. You know, they've had a couple of seasons where it's very quiet, nobody really notices it, but they end up having a really good second half to get close to 500 or at 500 after a really bad first half. And you know, he does a great job keeping those guys motivated you know, keeping guys from you know, the situation from really turning completely upside down when they get off to a bad start. And they compete. You know, they got a lot of feistiness about them. And you're right, they don't have the Jake Peavys and some of those frontline starting pitchers that they've had in the past. But they're finding a way to get it done. And they've certainly adjusted to their home ballpark with their home dimensions. And I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know if I would say they're going to be there right at the end. But then again, I didn't think they'd be right there at the end in 2010 either. So you definitely have to, you know, give your just respect to them and And that goes for every team in the division, including the Dodgers, who I think still will have a run in them.
Boy, I don't know. You know, as I said, if you do the math now, Dodgers have played 72 games. That means there's 90 left. They have 30 wins. Do they have 60 and 30 in them?
Boy, I don't know. It's hard to say. I kind of doubt it, because I think if they were maybe 5 or 6 games better and they were a little more in striking distance, you'd see them go all in at the trade deadline just like they did last year. And it might be harder to justify doing that from an ownership standpoint. So that's to me that they got to get in striking distance and really turn on the jets here in these next couple weeks. And then if they get the trade deadline and it's a little more of a realistic situation, and all of a sudden, you know, they're the most aggressive team adding parts, then that could really make the difference in their season. So I think this is going to be a critical time for them.
Yeah, and the Padres jumped all over Clayton Kershaw last night, which was a little shocking. But I just got to say that SI.com's Joe Sheehan picked the Padres to win the West this year, and I basically accused him of being drunk when he filled that out. But he's smarter than I am, obviously, that they're competing, which is above what I thought they were going to do.
So did MLB's Barry Bloom.
He did, too?
And I said, you want another pick? Seriously, you want another pick?
Right.
Isn't
right.
that funny?
Well, boy, these guys know a little bit more than we give them credit for.
You
but,
never know.
Hey, Marty, it's a long season, as you well
Somebody
know.
Somebody has said that.
Hey, Andy, I got to ask you. I know you were here at the yard last night, but I don't know if you saw the video of Pablo Sandoval down. Was it in Stockton last night? And he drives the fans crazy because he's incredibly talented, and he hits homers off Verlanders in World Series games. And then again, I'm watching the video last night, and even on his home run trot, his jersey's coming out. I mean, was this guy not privy to a stationary bike on the DL? And I'm sorry to pile on with more of the Pablo Sandoval fat chat, but, hey, you heard the term game recognizes game. Well, fat recognizes fat. And this guy needs to sweat a little bit.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing about Pablo. He can't really ever get upset when people criticize his weight when he's going bad or when he's getting hurt. I mean, I don't think this foot injury is related to his weight. His hamate bone injury certainly were not related to his weight.
Yeah.
But he's gotten this tag of being a guy who gets hurt. And for a lot of people, they're going to look at the common denominator and say if he kept himself in better shape, maybe he'd be able to play a little more. And, correlation isn't causation, certainly, but you open yourself to that criticism when you don't look the part, and he certainly doesn't look the part. And so if he wants that talk to end, there's something very simple he can do, and that's go back and do what he did after the 2010 series and just totally, grind it out every day and be totally committed to starting the year in better shape, which he hasn't done the last couple of years. But, you know, I do think it's a good sign that he hit that home run last night. And you know, you talk to people in San Jose, he never connected with fans, you know, anywhere as strongly as he did when he was in San Jose. They love him with the San Jose Giants, all the folks that follow him around, and he loves going there too. So I'm sure he enjoyed hitting that home run. But, they need more out of him. They need more out of him than got, even when he was healthy on the field. They need more home runs. They need him to be as selective as he can be at the plate, because he's talent. And some of the pitches he can hit, nobody else can hit. We've all seen it. Justin Verlander's seen it for sure. And they need him to be a force in the middle of that lineup in the second half. He's going to be a big key for them.
Yeah, very special. Andy, I know it's your day off, and you're going to enjoy a beautiful day around the Bay Area. But for Barry Zito today, and I said it on the show, for me today, and I haven't been through too many of these emotional days at this ballpark, maybe Barry Bonds when Bobby died, and Jason Schmidt, I remember his mother passed away. But for Joe Zito, he was a part of the franchise here and the Bay Area. Wonderful man. And Barry is like a son to everybody in the Bay Area, really. He's been here his whole career. And I know how close he was to his father. This is some game for him today.
Yeah, I think so. He's, you know, he'll certainly go out there with a heavy heart. And I don't know if you've had a chance to read Bruce Jenkins' piece
we've been talking about
Josie. Have you guys been talking about that?
Yeah.
It's what a great piece and what great insight. Obviously, you know, Bruce coming from a musical background as well with his father, working with Joe Zito, so they had a connection there, and we all kind of benefit from that with the insight that he was able to give us in that piece. And you really get a sense for just how Joe Zito thought about in terms of being creative and finding creative solutions to things and seeing things in a musical way. you know, it's creativity and it's structure at the same time that goes into any kind of composition. And he really poured himself into helping his son become the best he could be. Who hires Cy Young Award winners to coach their son when they're in little league age?
Yeah, Randy Jones.
Yeah, exactly right. And built a mound in the backyard for him. So, you know, Barry certainly had some tremendous advantages, and I think that his worldview is shaped a lot by both his mother and his father. I met them both, and you can definitely see a lot of Barry and where he comes from, as we all are shaped by our parents, I think, to some degree. So, this is going to be a memorable start for him and a very emotional one, I'm sure, goes without saying.
And for the fans, too.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those days you rally around Barry Zito.
And Rally Zito.
Yeah, right, Rally Zito. Hashtag Rally Zito. That'll trend around. Yeah. We get that going.
What do you think about for the opponents for Barry Zito today? Does it weigh on their mind?
No, not at all.
Not one bit?
No.
Just watch him like a bug like any other
Absolutely.
Day?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Nope. That's the thing. You learn very quickly in this game, no matter what you're going through, what you're dealing with, who's hurt, the other team does not care. They will not cut you a break.
No.
And if you mistake any sympathy, you're in for a lesson.
Okay. All right, Andy, thanks so much. Have a good day.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay, you guys too. Take care.
All right, that is Andy Bagley. Boy,
does a good job.
CSN Bags.